across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Apple of My Eye by Damien Dempsey and Wildwood Kim, because we're talking apples with my guest today, Howard Jones from Orchards East. Good morning, Howard.
Hello, good morning.
Nice to have you with us. Well, I say we're talking apples because we're talking orchards. Are orchards always apple trees?
No, not at all. No, you could have a whole range of different fruit in East Anglia, and it's not only about fruit, it's also about cob nuts as well. So apples and pears, cherries, plums, greengages, which are closely associated with Cambridge. There's a very famous Cambridge greengage. Cob nuts, as I mentioned, which are a type of commercial hazelnut and grow very well in Suffolk, for example. Also walnuts, what else? Apricots, peaches. Those wonderful things which you can put in apple pie, quince, which tend to grow in most apple orchards. All sorts of different things. I could go on about warden pears for half an hour, but I won't.
So that kind of classic image of an orchard as rows of apple trees, I mean, that's true to a certain extent, but orchards come in different shapes and sizes.
Orchards come in incredibly different ranges of shapes and sizes. If you're thinking about rows of apple trees, you may have in mind a type of commercial orchard where, as you say, trees are planted in straight rows, quite often only one or several varieties, depending upon what's the trend at that time. But we're mostly interested in historical orchards and also traditional orchards, which tend to be a lot more varied. If you're looking at a traditional orchard, you're more likely to get a range of fruit. And they're planted, some of them are very old, some of the trees are very old, and they tend to be planted in a more organic fashion, as one tree gets too old and is felled, another one's put in, etc. So
those are the orchards you're interested in, because this is a project about orchards. Tell me about it.
It's a Heritage Fund, National Lottery funded project. We're based at the University of East Anglia in Norwich, in the School of History, which is where we're running it from. As I said, we're concentrating upon the history and ecology of orchards across the six counties of East of England. So Cambridgeshire, obviously, Norfolk, Suffolk, Essex, Hertfordshire and Bedfordshire. We're researching historic orchards, seeing how many of those from the late 1800s survive. Also, we're restoring some old orchards which have gone into decline. We're also planting new community orchards. We've done around 30, 35 so far. We're training people in the necessary skills to manage orchards, things such as fruit tree grafting and pruning. We're also collecting people's oral histories, stories from people who've been associated with orchards over the years, and also doing biodiversity surveys. We think that orchards can be very important for quite a few rare species, and we're concentrating upon the most promising sites, doing surveys of wildflowers, insects, pollinators, lichens and bryophytes, which are plants which grow on very old trees. And that's very exciting. It's something we're doing actively this summer.
What a lovely project.
It's really good.
Do you spend your time swanning around orchards?
I spend my whole time swanning around orchards, yeah. There's a bit more to it than that, but yeah, I do get out quite a lot. We do quite a lot of surveys with the volunteers. We've got a volunteer team, including people who've been involved in planting orchards, of around 300 to 400 people, and a good old team of volunteers who are doing loads of surveys across parishes in the East of England. So far, we've covered more than 750 parishes looking at old orchard sites, recording what they are now and finding out those ones which have survived. And this is something we need a lot more help with. In Cambridgeshire, South Cambridgeshire, we are a bit short on the ground. So anybody who's keen on doing this, please get in touch.
We'll give contact details out at the end. But in terms of, you talked about the history of orchards, how far back did they go? When was the first orchard?
Oh, gosh. That's a really good question. Orchard species, varieties, they're not native to Britain or indeed Europe. They originate in the Tian Shan Mountains, which are on the northern side of the Himalayas in Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan. And in those areas, apples, pears and walnuts, etc., grow naturally in woods. They're managed by the local inhabitants to get fruit, but those are the natural trees. And over time, and there's all manner of different stories how this happened, over time, these varieties found their way from that particular part of Asia up to Asia Minor, then into Europe, and eventually up to Britain. So when the first orchard was planted, I really couldn't say. What I can say is that if you're looking for historic orchards, the best time you can start doing this is around the late 1800s, because that's the first time that the Ordnance Survey identified orchards and woodlands separately. Before that, they used exactly the same icon for both types of habitat, so you couldn't tell them apart. But we can start looking for historic orchards from around 1870, 1880, depending where you are in East Anglia.
And what do those historic orchards tell you?
Well, there were loads of them. That's the thing which is quite incredible. We've got this fantastic map, which I tweet out for people to have a look at. We're showing all these orchard sites across East England from the 1800s. And it looks, it's a white map with red dots. It looks like it's got measles. So the area was really, really important for fruit growing. So up in Cambridgeshire, up in the Fens, for example, that was a hot spot of commercial orchards where fruit was grown and then taken by train to both markets in Birmingham, the Midlands, and down to London. As you go down to Essex and Hertfordshire, again, the proximity to London and sort of spreading railway tracks made that a very important area as well for fruit growing. And then as you look around in sort of areas such as Suffolk and the Baldoclay areas of Cambridgeshire, you get a lot of old farm orchards, which were basically providing fruit for the farm, for the family, the workers and the farms, etc. And some of the best surviving historic examples are associated with old institutions such as workhouses, old hospitals, and many of those have survived. And again, they would have been planted and used to provide fruit for those working and being cared for in those institutions. And so they're some of the best examples which remain.
Why so many orchards in this area? Is it something about the ecology of the area?
It's a mixture of things. Some of the soils are particularly good. It's obviously quite a rural area, so you will have more farm orchards and more village orchards. And as I mentioned, the railway tracks. It's really important to understand that these are an absolute driver of orchard growth. And the railway tracks, hot sunny climate compared to most of Britain, and proximity to markets in London were very important for driving orchard growth here. As a great example, there's a wonderful fruit farm you can visit in Essex called Crepes Fruit Farm, not far from Colchester. And that was set up in the 1930s by the grandfather of the person who runs it today. And his grandfather chose the site not based upon soil or aspect of the sun, but because it was close to a local railway station, and he could pick his apples, stick them on the train, and they'd be done at Covent Garden the next day or later on that day. So that's the only way to make it financially viable.
And what about the cultural significance of orchards? Were they a place where people gathered? I mean, certainly they would have been a place where people worked.
Oh, very much so. Definitely a place where people are working. We've got some fantastic oral history stories from people who've worked in orchards. You can come across some incredible pictures of women in long dresses picking cherries at the top of ridiculously huge ash ladders, going up and down with big baskets of cherries, and the men at the bottom, because the men weren't allowed to climb ladders because it was far too scary for them, I think, more than anything else. So they provided work, they provided a sense of community, they obviously provided a really important produce, and they also provided a very important habitat for wildlife, which of course is disappearing all the time. If you find an old orchard in an area which is surrounded by arable agriculture, they look like a bit of an oasis. There's you'll find birds singing there, you'll find butterflies this time of year, and you'll find all manner of different beetles and things, wood-boring insects which live in veteran apple trees and veteran plum trees where the wood is rotting. So they provide a really important habitat for wildlife as well as really important cultural connections.
And in this age of genetically modified fruit, presumably we're all still going to need orchards. They'll never go away.
No, you wouldn't have thought so. No, you can some of the fantastic local varieties we're finding out about, you want to keep them going. And when we're planting new community orchards, we concentrate upon planting those varieties which have stood the test of time. They're tasty, but they've got a good link to the local area. And that helps maintain an interesting range of fruit. Who wants to eat sort of sterile, all the same apples? I won't mention any varieties, because people obviously might like them. But if you go to the shops, you get two or three varieties. And the important thing about having local orchards is that you've got more choice on your doorstep. And it's a connection to the past. And then all these different types of fruit varieties, they have different ways of being cooked, different ways of being packed. And all these stories we're trying to find out and record so people can carry on with the tradition.
And what about you, Howard? What's your background? How did you come to this project?
Oh, right. I changed career to conservation about 5-6 years ago. And I was working with First Wildlife Trust and then National Trust, doing some rangering work, all that sort of thing, chopping down trees, etc. This opportunity came up, and it's a good opportunity to do something very different. And it's been really good fun. So it was a good move.
So Howard Jones from Orchard Seas. I must ask you, Howard, what's it like having the name of...
when I was a youngster, it was dreadful because it ruined my school discos, because he'd be playing his frankly awful music and everybody would tease me horribly, so it wasn't good.
You're not a fan of him?
No. A silly haircut.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, Howard Jones from Orchards East, and you can find you on Twitter at Orchards East.
Yep.
The website's a long address, but we'll give it out just in case, uea.ac.uk/... Orchards-East, or just Google Orchards East. It's probably easier. And you're looking for people to get involved. You want help?
Very much so, yes, please. Anybody who wants to help with surveys or help with planning and planting new community orchards, anything like that, please get in touch. Twitter's probably the best way to do it because, as Lee said, that website address is quite long.
Well, good luck. When will this project finish?
We finish at the end of August next year, so it's a good year still to go. Loads to get done and lots of help needed.
And the aim is to sort of compile a report as to the way forward,
yep,
as well as,
yep,
historical.
Very much so. We want to try and make sure the project has a good legacy. So the information we're collecting is getting out there. And I think one of the most important legacies will be the skills we're teaching people and the new orchards which we're establishing.
Good luck and lovely to talk to you, Howard. Thank you very much.